Good morning and welcome to Trinity Downtown Lutheran. We'd like to welcome the Child Development Center chorus, and we'd like to welcome the parents too, and we appreciate you being here. We're going to have a special presentation by the children here, and I believe we're going to have a serious upstaging.
The children back to their parents, we'd like to just say a word. These children are just such a blessing to us all, and we are so grateful. I speak on behalf of the CDC. I spend a little bit of teaching time there. So grateful for the opportunity to partner with parents in raising children to know Jesus Christ. The CDC is open 51 weeks a year, 11 hours a day, taking care, but not just child care. No, it's education. These children are learning academically, socially, character, and how to love others and how to treat people well, how to follow God in the world. They're learning so very, very much. And I wanted to take this opportunity to have you meet their amazing teachers. What I'd like to do is just have, because you've heard my voice enough, I'd like to have them come up. They're the lead teachers in some of the classrooms. And would you say your name, how long you've been teaching? If you wouldn't mind, let's start with Liz right over there.
Hi, I'm Liz. I've been at Trinity for a little over 9 years. I have two kids. Both one of them is still here, and one of them has moved on to elementary school, and I love it here. Yeah, thank you.
The next teacher I'd like to come is Daylene. Daylene is the one who taught her children this fun last song, and I fell in love with it and said, could we do it with everybody, and she graciously agreed to lead it. So, Daylene.
Hi, my name is Daylene Burnham. I've been teaching 21 years, and I have two kids, one in high school and one in middle school.
Hi, my name is Jackie, and I've been teaching at Trinity for 4 years. I've been doing this for 19 years. I have three children who are all grown up. My youngest is 21.
Can we have you come up, Colby? Sorry.
She's carrying two people.
Good morning. I'm Colby. That just changed my last name, so I got used to that. I have been teaching working at Trinity for 10 years, 7 years in the classroom, and almost three as a director, and I have one on the way. Can't wait.
Okay. Children, you may go back and find your parents. They're somewhere in here, not farther back than that door, okay?
So. Thank also Patty Moser, our director of the CDC. Patty? Let's go over to Dan.
Well, those of you staying, we 1 2 1 2 1 2 1. So glad to see a lot of you staying. We're so glad that you're here worshiping with us. What a tremendous blessing having these young children's eyes opened at such a wonderful, wonderfully young age. We'd like to invite you to join us in song this morning, and we're appreciative and thankful that you're here to worship with us.
To see you, open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
Lord Jesus, we've come into your house today and we give you thanks. We ask your blessing upon everyone who's here, especially upon our young children. Open the eyes of our hearts and allow us to answer the question of today. Who are you, Jesus? And how are you a part of my life? May you bless us with that answer today, Lord. And may we walk from here as your children with great joy and peace of knowing that you are our Lord and our Savior. In Jesus' name.
You may be seated now.
I'd like to invite this morning's reader up right now. Morning, Chris.
The Old Testament reading for the fifth Sunday in Lent is from Isaiah chapter 43. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way into the sea, a path in mighty waters, who brings forth chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down and cannot rise. They are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild beasts will honor me, and the jackals and the ostriches. For I will give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my people, the people whom I formed for myself, that they might declare my praise. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Philippians chapter 3. If anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, and as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. But whatever I gain I had, I counted as a loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I might gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Please stand. We welcome each of you once again here to Trinity. Our gospel lesson is taken from Luke chapter 20 and is the gospel message that will be the basis for our sermon this morning. Parables are earthly stories that Jesus used to tell heavenly meanings or deeper truths. Jesus began to tell the people this parable. A man planted a vineyard and let it out to tenants and went into another country for a long time. When the time came, he sent a servant to the tenants so that they would give him some of the fruit of the vineyard. But the tenants beat him and sent him away empty-handed. And he sent another servant, but they also beat and treated him shamefully and sent him away empty-handed also. And yet he sent a third. This is one also they wounded and cast out. Then the owner of the vineyard said, "What shall I do? I'll send my beloved son. Perhaps they will respect him." But when the tenants saw him, they said to themselves, "This is the heir. Let us kill him so that the inheritance may be ours." And they threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. What then will the owner of the vineyard do to them? He will come and destroy those tenants and give the vineyard to others. When they heard this, they said, "Surely not." But he looked directly at them and said, "What then is this that is written? The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief or the cornerstone. Everyone who falls on that stone will be broken to pieces. And if it falls upon anyone, I will crush him. It will crush him." And the scribes and the chief priests sought to lay hands on Jesus at that very hour, for they perceived that this parable had been spoken against them. But they feared the people. So they watched him and sent spies who pretended to be sincere, that they might catch him in something he said, so as to deliver him up to the authority and jurisdiction of the governor, Pontius Pilate. Here ends the reason, the reading of our gospel. You may be seated.
The prayer cards will be collected during this next song. If you've something on your heart that you would like the congregation to offer up in prayer later in the service, fill out the yellow card and an elder will collect it during this song. Join us.
We bend our knees. O Spirit, come make us humble.
Everyone, just a couple of short announcements. The weekly Lenten devotionals continue both at 12:10 and 12:50 on the lunch hour, and also at 7 p.m. Please note that on April 10th, the soup supper has been canceled due to lack of volunteer coverage, though. Mark also on your calendars for Saturday, April 13th, when we'll spend the morning here on campus sprucing things up for our guests on Easter. Many hands will make light work, so please plan to share a few hours of your time and care for your church campus. The more people participating, the faster it'll go. We'll gather here at 8:30 to 11:30 to tackle some yard work and a few cleaning projects around the campus. Coffee, water, and donuts will be available as well. Also, our youth have partnered with Prince of Peace Youth to raise funds for the National Youth Gathering trip. They're putting on a mystery dinner theater at Prince of Peace on Saturday, April 13th, called Death by Chocolate. You don't want to miss this. See your weekly Trinity Weekly in our Facebook page for more details and information. Also, don't forget to bring palm branches to church with you next weekend for Palm Sunday. And don't forget our iDignity coin cans are due back to Trinity on Palm Sunday also. And then finally, lilies are available to enhance the look of our church here. They're here at Trinity especially for the beauty and for Palm Sunday and Easter to celebrate and are provided by our members and Trinity family. And it's for those who wish to remember loved ones and simply express a special thanks to God. The names of contributors will be remembered and published. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris. Oh, the kids did a wonderful job. Could we give them a round of applause again? Things we find up here. And we just want to say welcome to each of you who are parents and grandparents here celebrating the singing of your children at worship service here at Trinity. And we want to just welcome each and every one of you as well. Our Bible story, our meditation, is taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, the 20th chapter. If you want to follow along, we're going to begin actually in the beginning at verse 1 of that chapter, but getting down to the parable is where we're going to go. If you want to follow along up here on the screens in the Pew Bible just in front of you, or if you have your iPhone or Android, just open it up. And if you want to flip past to Facebook, you can check in at Downtown Trinity. So all of that say nice things. We're glad once again that you're here. When I was younger, and I remember raising our three boys, I remember that our middle son had gotten into the candy drawer, and he got caught by his older brother before dinner eating candy. And he says to his brother, "Jaron, what are you doing?"
"I'm eating candy,"
he said. And his older brother says, "You can't do that. You haven't had dinner." Just exasperated. And he says,
"It's okay. Mom says okay."
Well, Mom hadn't, but it was okay. He's still with us. So when we start to look at it, we get through some of these things. But the authority of Jesus was also questioned. By whose authority are you doing these things? In today's text, Jesus' authority was challenged by the chief priests, the scribes, and elders, who questioned, you might remember some of the things Jesus had been doing. He'd been preaching and teaching the gospel of God. He had also been healing people, and some people were healed on even the Sabbath. And he was also casting out demons. And as a result, they came and said, "How are you doing this, and why are you doing this?" You know, it's a lot that way today, isn't it? Sometimes we too wonder, who is Jesus? Was he simply a good teacher, a miracle worker, a prophet, a mentor, or a guide for us? And it seems like we too question the authority or lordship, if you will, over our lives and our world, and we wonder, who are you? Are you just a man, like many of him, of Jesus' day and time when he walked the face of the earth? They made him out to be a man, but not the Messiah, and certainly not the Son of God. Jesus loved those of his day as he does those of us today as well. He loved those Pharisees and scribes and the chief priests and the like. And he loves you and me. But he wanted them and he wants us to discover who he is, why he came. And so I pause and I ask you today, who is Jesus to you? And when you and I start to think about it, if you're in a hospital room with a loved one or someone who's a friend, a sick, who's suffering in that bed, and they say to you, who is Jesus to you? Would you be prepared to give an account of the hope that is in you? It is my prayer that you will be, and that you perhaps already are. Because Jesus answered their question, by whose authority are you doing this? He asked them about John the Baptist. He says, is John's baptism of heaven or of man? Now they pondered and pondered and thought about it. The religious leaders of Jesus' day did not know how to answer because they said, if we say it's of man, not of God, they'll start to stone us because they believe John the Baptist was sent by God. And if the crowds would do that to them, they really didn't want to go there. And so then they said, however, if we tell Jesus John's baptism is of heaven, he will say, then why didn't you believe him? You see, what Jesus was trying to do was to get them to come to a conclusion about who John was and where he came from and by whose authority, and thus also say by whose authority Jesus was doing these things. He wanted them to conclude that John's baptism was of heaven. It was from God, and it was by his authority that he performed this ministry at the command of his heavenly Father. That's what Jesus was trying to get them to see. He was trying to get them to see that he was from heaven, that he was the bread of life, the Messiah, and the like. But since they did not answer him, he refused to tell them by whose authority. Now, my friends, Jesus loves you, and he loves me. But he also wants us in our world, in our time, also to come to discover the truth of who he is. He wants us to understand why he's doing the things he's done, why he came to our world, why he went to the cross, why they were going to have to do the hard work of figuring this out, because Jesus wouldn't give them the answer so they could draw their own conclusions was the work they had to do. And so Jesus tells them a parable. Now, again, a parable is an earthly story that we all understand. But it's an earthly story that has heavenly meaning and applications and implications. And Jesus began to tell this parable. A man planted a vineyard and let it out to the tenants. He rented it out. And he went into another country for a long while. Note that this owner was engaged in his vineyard. He didn't just own it. He wasn't a gentleman farmer. No, he did the purchasing of it. He planted in the vineyard. He shaped it, he cultivated, and then he planted the vines. All this was so that he could prepare it for a harvest. This owner was all in. He was all in for all that he had done, the hard work necessary to bring forth a harvest. Then he brought in tenants who would simply manage it. This owner, my friends, is God the Father, who created the heavens and the earth, who also told Adam and Eve to be fruitful, go forth and subdue the earth and multiply. They were to be those who would take care of God's vineyard. And God continued that relationship with humanity through Noah and Moses, Abraham and the prophets and the like, even down to our day, giving us that same role. And in this text or this parable, Jesus, we understand that this is God's vineyard. There's no doubt about it. This is the world is the God's. It is God himself who created it and fashioned it. Now our parable tells us about the servants being sent by the owner. You remember when the time came, he sent a servant and the tenants, those who were renting, so that they would give him some of the fruit of the vineyard. But the tenants beat that servant and sent them away empty-handed. And he sent then another servant. But they also beat him and treated him shamefully. And he sent them away a third time, empty-handed. This is also the one they wounded and cast out. And then the owner of the vineyard says to himself, what shall I do? I know. I'll send my own son, my beloved son. Perhaps they'll respect him. But when the tenants saw him, they said to themselves, this is the heir. Let us kill him, so that the inheritance may be ours. And they threw him out of the vineyard and they killed him. And then Jesus asked the question in this parable, what then will the owner of the vineyard do to them? He will come back, destroy those tenants, and give the vineyard to others. Now the point of the parable is this, that the church is God's church, and this is his world. And this was now his son sent to deal with these troubling servant leaders. They had mistreated God's prophets and servants over the years. Now, God so loved the world, you can say, that he gave his only begotten son. He sent them into the vineyard. But he did not and was not received. Although the world was made through Jesus, the world did not receive his own. Even though Jesus was the light of the world, they wanted darkness. They would be the ones now who at their own hands would kill the owner of the vineyard's son, God's own son. Jesus would be killed. Jesus would be crucified. Jesus' words to these people were biting and bitter. This parable was about them. Jesus had exposed their plan to kill him, and he announced the judgment of God upon them, saying that the vineyard would be given to another, namely the Gentiles. You and me. Those who might be included in God's plan. This parable is now an earthly story with deep heavenly meanings. And in pointing out their sin, God was also spelling out their solution. That there was a loving Savior sent who simply wanted to save them. You see, my friends, this parable is not just about people then and there. It's about you and me. You and me, as we start to struggle with and wrestle with, really, who is Jesus in my life? Who is Jesus in this parable? Jesus was the Messiah. He was the one sent at the behalf of the owner of the vineyard, God. Sent Jesus to seek us out, to save us. He even wanted to save the chief priests, the elders, and the Pharisees and scribes and all of that. Those who opposed him, Jesus wanted to bring them unto his side. For Jesus came into your life as well, not to be on your back, but to be on your side, to seek you out, to save you, to offer you the forgiveness of any sins and wrongdoings, and to be able to embrace you and bring you into his heavenly family, to be a part of God's vineyard, making and producing the fruit of his work and ministry, seeking and saving the lost. But Jesus warned them, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. You know, the chief capstone. If you were looking at an architect with an arch, and you had these as bricks or stones, and you came to the very top, you need a capstone or a cornerstone to basically keep everything in place. They also call it a keystone, and it's that which holds all the other pieces in place. Jesus is that cornerstone, that capstone. He's the rock of our salvation. Without him, everything falls apart. We are lost as poor and miserable sinners. And God's plan to redeem us and to welcome us back into his arms and receive him into his heavenly family is all based upon Jesus, the rock of our salvation. Jesus, the cornerstone. Jesus, that chief stone. And my friends, Jesus died upon a cross on Calvary to pay the price for you and for me to be forgiven. There was no other gift God would accept. For without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness. And it was God's own Son's blood. He was a Son of Man, yeah. But he's also the Son of God. And because of that, the worth and the value of God's own Son's blood, he was able to pay for all the wrongs that I have done, and you have done, and the world has done for all time. And in him we find our place, and in Jesus we find peace with God. Jesus is that cornerstone. I ask you again, who is Jesus? Who is Jesus to you? The Bible tells us in 1 Peter to always be prepared to give an account of the hope that is in you. Always be prepared. I hope and I know that you can be able to share the wondrous good news in simple sentences to those who might ask you, who's Jesus? May God bless you, and may God bless your children and your grandchildren. God be with us as we live out this life and head towards Easter, where Jesus rose from the dead to guarantee the price of victory over sin, death, and the devil, as well as to conquer death and the grave. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please stand and join me in the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. Third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, into the Father, with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated.
The offering will be collected during this next song, and we invite you to join us singing.
Please rise. Lord Jesus, we indeed do give you thanks and ask your blessing to be upon everyone who's present here with this day. Help us to discover, to understand, to believe, to trust in why you came. Namely, that our sins were paid for by your suffering and death upon the cross. And you seek to save all who are lost, perishing without forgiveness. Lord, help us to trust, help us to believe, help us to see, and help us to explain to others so that they too might believe. So, Lord Jesus, bless the work of this congregation and school as we share this wondrous good news of love, your love to us, of your promise of paradise, of your promise for us to have all sins forgiven, and for us to be able to see that we are your sons and daughters. We give you thanks, Lord Jesus. We also pray that you would be with all the children of the K-8 program who are currently seeking new school homes. We ask that you would guide them and direct their steps, that you would open doors for them. We also pray that you would be with our teachers of the K-8 program. who at the end of this year are looking for new places to serve and to use the gifts and talents that you've blessed them with. We ask, Lord, for your unfailing love to be extended to them and for you to open up doors of opportunity for them to serve, utilizing their gifts and talents. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we thank you for the wonderful work of this Child Development Center and of this congregation. As we look out at reaching out into this community, may you ever remind us of the joy of our own salvation. And help us to be able to extend that message to others, sharing it willingly and readily. Help us to always be prepared to give an account of that hope. Lord, in your mercy. Lord Jesus, now hear the prayers that have been asked or requested this day.
Gracious Heavenly Father, we offer prayers of healing for Mrs. Luceto upon her diagnosis of cancer, and for all those seeking healing from cancer, for Sandy, for Malaya, for Randy, for Steve, and for Tom. And Father, we pray for peace and blessings in the lives of Glenda and Calvin, and for Eunice, and for Peter, peace in his heart. Father, we ask for peace and understanding for us all so that we may live lives of pleasing to you. Lord, please guide the caregivers of Olivia in finding additional care for her. Lord, look over Joe as he undergoes tests for fluid around the heart. Please give him good test results, Lord. And praise and thanks for Rob's completions of a drug recovery program. Continue to watch over him, Lord. And for blessings, the families and children, and the CDC and Trinity Lutheran Church School. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
At this time, as is the custom of the church prior to communion, we would ask that you would stay seated but turn to those who are around you and give them a hand of fellowship, saying, "The peace of the Lord be with you." Peace of the Lord be with you. On the same night in which our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had broken it, he gave thanks, and he gave it unto his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given unto death for you." Likewise, in the same manner, he also took the cup, and when he had supped and had given thanks, he gave it unto his disciples, saying, "Take and drink ye all of it, for this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is given and is shed for you, for the remission of all your sins. As often as you drink it, do this in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always."
Stone, you live to die, reach Worship His holy name. Sing like never before.
worship your holy name. I worship your holy name.
Lord and Jesus, we give you thanks for giving us this refreshing Last Supper that you celebrated with your disciples, now with us. You forgive us, you strengthen us, and now you send us. In Jesus' name. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and bring you his peace. Amen.
We're heartfully thankful that you're here to worship with us today. Before we move any further, could we give a big round of applause for those young voices that opened our service? Thanks again for coming and joining us. If you'd like to join us in the future, there is child care during this service, and we're here every Sunday. God's blessings on your week, and join us in song. And serve the Lord.